Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them every month at the Canal Café Theatre.
This story was performed by
Joanna Yates
in April 2010,
where the theme was home.
I can't believe I send people up here. It's so cruel. There were three options on the form. One of them said, they were asking where I lived. One of them was, do you live at home? And there was a little checkbox next to it. There was another one that said, do you live in rented accommodation? And then the third one said, do you live in halls of residence? And I remember thinking that I lived at home, but that was rented accommodation. And the rented accommodation that I called my home was hundreds of miles away from where my mum and dad were, which was in the countryside. And the rented accommodation was in London. And it was September 1997 when I came to London, and I came and lived with a friend of mine, not far from here actually, in Lanark Road, Maida Vale, eight floors up in one of the tower blocks which is on that street. And that was the first place in London that I called my home. And naturally, being kind of late teens, early 20s, we went out quite a lot from that particular home. And one of the places that we went to was WKD, which used to be a club that was in Camden. And it held quite regularly a night which was a jam night, where musicians would turn up and they'd either sing or they'd play the guitar or they'd do something and they'd jam together on the stage. I remember one musician going up and then coming off the stage and kind of positioning himself quite close to the back of the room, completely on his own and not really talking to anyone. And I went over and started talking to him. And he told me that he was a musician, and he showed me his Beatle, which was outside the club. And I remember the speakers took up way more space in the Beatle than the seats did. They were absolutely huge, and they were on the back seat. And shortly after that, I remember being in my apartment eight floors up on Lanark Road, and I remember the windows shaking quite violently. And that was because the Beatle was drawing up outside the block, and it meant that the entire block shook, basically, with the power of the speakers at the back of this thing. And 4 months or so after that, it seemed like a really good idea to move out of Lanark Road and to move in with him, which was in Highgate, and I moved there. And I remember that he used to try and tell me what to do, and he'd try and tell me what to cook, and he'd try and tell me what to wear, and he'd be intent on trying to tell me where to go, and he'd love telling me how to drive and which way to drive. And one particular time, I remember driving my car, him in the passenger seat, barking directions over at me. And it had been a good few months that I'd been there, and I just took it, because I kind of figured that maybe he knew something that I didn't, perhaps he knew the best way. I was quite young, he was a good 10 years older than me. And but that particular day, we sat down and we started driving, and he was going right, left, no, yes. And I was kind of doing various things. And we drove back towards the house and we drew up. And as we drew up, I noticed how tightly I was gripping the steering wheel. And I felt heat in my face, and something in me had snapped, literally. And I got out of the car and he got out of the car, and we're standing there in front of each other, and I did something that I've never done since and I probably won't do again, which is that I pushed him out the way, and he looked at me in utter shock. He went white, first of all, and then his eyes like went really slitty. And then he took like a step towards me, and I was like, blimey, what's he going to do? And then he took a step away, and then I went, that's it, I'm off, I'm going, I've had enough. And I went back into the flat, took everything, put it in my Metro, and I drove it back to this place 200 miles away, which is where my mum and dad are. And I spent a week there. And in that week, there were various phone calls that came back to me going, come back, really miss you. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be better when you get back. And so eventually I did. And I came back by train, actually, because I just bought a few of my things back. And I remember turning up in London, probably 9:30 in the morning, and I got the tube to Highgate, which is where the flat was. And I walked down to the flat and I got to the door and I opened it with a key, because obviously I had the keys to my own home. And I got inside, and the floor was a bit like this. There was no carpet on it inside our flat. And there was a kind of, as you walked in, there was a hallway, four steps, a little kind of landing, and then the bedroom was at the back. And as I walked in, I looked down at the floor, I remember, and it was silent. So I immediately knew that the hug and the sorry and that it's all going to be fine wasn't going to happen imminently. So I kind of went in a little bit further. And I walked up the steps onto the landing and I sort of slowly opened the door to the bedroom and just to see if that's where he was. And it was where he was because I could see his head was lying on one of the pillows. And next to it, I could see somebody else's head lying on the pillow with a kind of flock of blonde hair sticking out the side. And I went kind of white and quite cold and I shut the door really, really slowly as if it would be awful to disturb anyone in that situation. And I walked downstairs into the living room. And in the living room, kind of in the back of, on the back wall, there was one of those round mirrors that you sometimes have with the kind of frames around them. And it was slightly distressed. So the mirror had that sort of slightly browning effect on it. And I was probably this distance from the mirror. And I was looking in it and I literally didn't recognise myself. I was so shocked by what I'd seen. I dropped my bag on the floor and I kind of looked in the mirror. And the next thing I did was leave the bag there, walk out of the flat onto the street with my hand over my mouth, and I walked straight into the nearest pub, which again is not particularly in character because anyone who knows me, I don't really drink very much. So going to the nearest pub was slightly odd. But when I got there, I ordered a gin and tonic and I sat in the garden and I kind of had a look around in the garden. And then I did something else that was completely out of character, which is I started to notice that in the garden there was a variety of garden furniture and gnomes and bits and bobs. And one of the gnomes in particular was not very far away from me. And I picked it up and I put it inside my jacket. And after I finished the gin and tonic, I left the pub with the gnome. And I walked directly back to the flat. I had a feeling that they'd gone, and they had, and I walked inside the door, and I thought, I need to go and get my bag, because I'd left it there. So I went in, got my bag, and I don't know why to this day, but I put the gnome in the kitchen on the floor, and I left it there. And I and I got the bag that I'd left in the living room, and I took it outside. I called my dear friend, who I was living with in Maida Vale and had now moved on somewhere different, told her what had happened, and she said, come with me, come and stay with me. So I went back to her house later that day, and in the preceding hours and towards the evening, herself and her boyfriend came with me to collect all of my things. And we packed the car up, and I remember from sitting inside that packed car, looking out of the window and back at the flat that I'd just left, and thinking, actually, that wasn't necessarily a home. That was probably more rented accommodation than it was a home. And I think I've fortunately learned a lot of lessons about what it is that I like to have as my home since then. Thank you very much.
Have you got a story to tell? In June, we're running a week of new stories at the Blue Elephant Theatre in Camberwell. We'd really love to hear from you.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates. Audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.